If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with us to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. I'm always encouraged, and I don't say this lightly. I'm encouraged when we have a good number of people come back on Sunday night and come back on Wednesday night. It encourages my heart, and I appreciate that. I really do appreciate you coming back to be with us. We have several families that are out of town, and it's my understanding that in the next couple of weeks there's going to be some fall breaks taking place and things like that, and we certainly do understand all those things, but it's good, even when there's people out of town, to have a good crowd on Sunday night and a good crowd on Wednesday night, and we're grateful for your presence here tonight. In Hebrews chapter number 6, it seems like in these days I don't really preach a lot of what you call topical sermons. I preached a lot like I'm going to preach tonight when I started out preaching. I guess my favorite way of preaching, if you haven't already figured it out, is textual. It's kind of a topic, but staying with the text. Topical preaching is just a topic, and you're not staying with the text. You're going all over the Bible, and you're just grabbing verses and the theme from all over the Word of God. And then, of course, expository preaching is just line upon line, precept upon precept. And that's kind of what we've done a lot on Wednesday night, like when we went through Psalm 119. I don't know how many months we were in Psalm. We went through the book of Philippians like that. And not that that matters. I'm just telling you tonight, a little bit different format, I guess, than what maybe you've been used to. But I believe the Lord will bless it. Hebrews chapter 6 tonight, in verse number 9, the Bible said, but, that tells us that there's a difference between what was before and what we're about to be presented with. The writer of the Hebrews, which most people believe is the Apostle Paul, said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. The word I want to key in on tonight is better. Better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And I want to preach tonight for a little while on this subject, better things that accompany salvation. When we get saved, there's some better things that accompany the salvation that is of the Lord. The Bible said salvation is of the Lord, and I appreciate that tonight. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you tonight for the congregational singing, the choir singing, the special singing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, for surely tonight, if singing's not seasoned, it's certainly not worth listening to. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would not only season the preaching or the singing as you already have, but please season the preaching with your Spirit. And Lord, help us, encourage us tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I don't really start many sermons like this, but I want to talk about wealth to get started tonight. A better wealth. Listen to what the Word of God said. When we get saved, there are better things that accompany salvation. And a better wealth. Listen to what the Bible said. In Psalm 37, verse 16, the Bible said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. In Psalm 119 and verse 72, the Bible said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. No wonder the old country preacher said one time, he said, I'm fixing to stand at the back door and shake your hand. He said, when you leave here tonight, tell them all over the country that you shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. Amen. If you've got Jesus tonight, I tell you, you're rich tonight. You're wealthy tonight. The Word of God said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The Word of God said in Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me. All speaking there. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Aren't you glad? Thank God that we have something in heaven, that we're laying up treasure. The word of God said in heaven, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where the moth and the rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, that neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart tonight? Amen. Is it in the bank? Is it in Wall Street? Or is your heart in glory tonight? Amen. Is that where your treasure is tonight? I praise the Lord. There's a better wealth than the wealth that this world offers. It takes money to operate. It takes money to have a church. It takes money to have a home. It takes money to get back and forth to work. And I'm not preaching against money, but what I'm saying is, listen, you can have all the money this world has and be a pauper. Amen. Because listen tonight, if you're not happy and satisfied in the Lord, amen, money will never satisfy that desire of a man's soul. Someone said this, and I wrote it down, and I thought I'd read it tonight. Dear Lord, he said, I've been rereading the record of the rich young ruler. Y'all remember that over there? And he, his obviously wrong choice. He made the wrong choice. He didn't choose Jesus. He chose his wealth down here. He went away sorrowful. Amen. When he could have went away happy in the Lord. And he said, but it has set me thinking. No matter, Lord, how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car. He could not have any surgery. He could not turn on a light. He could not buy penicillin. He could not hear a pipe organ. He could not watch TV. He could not wash dishes and run in water. He could not type a letter. He could not mow a lawn. He could not fly in an airplane. He could not sleep on an inner spring mattress or talk on the phone. If he was rich, then what am I? How about that tonight? Amen. We have so much tonight that I believe we take for granted. Amen. Listen, that God has given us. There's a better wealth that accompanies the salvation that God has to offer. Amen. I appreciate that, don't you? Let me give you this tonight. I'm looking at Psalm 37 for that first verse. And then there's a better care. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at Psalm 63 in verse number 3. The Bible said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. How many believes tonight no one ever cared for us like Jesus? I tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that listen, it's not just the better care, but listen, when you're in His care, you're in the best care. Amen. The best care that you could ever have. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How many believes He cares tonight? Let me tell you a trick of the devil. You get down, you get discouraged. Maybe you're hurting physically. Maybe you're hurting financially. Maybe you're hurting emotionally. Maybe you're hurting spiritually. An old slewfoot will get you backed up in the corner. And one of the first lies that he'll whisper is nobody cares. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you say, preacher, how do you know that's a lie? Because I can say this tonight, whether you're lost or whether you're the best Christian in the building tonight, my Savior cares for you tonight. He cares for you. He cares about you. And He wants to help you. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Aren't you glad? Thank God our good shepherd cares for the sheep. He'll never flee. He'll always fight for his sheep. He'll always care for his sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. Thank God tonight there's a better care. Things that accompany salvation There's a better wealth. There's a better care. But let me give you this tonight. There's a better fellowship. Think about where you used to be on Sunday night. Some of you have been in the house of God all your life. Thank the Lord. That's the best testimony you could have. Amen, is that you've not been out there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Doesn't matter who we are, there was a time when we didn't have fellowship with Jesus. Because, see, the sinner's got to meet the blood of Christ in order to have fellowship with Jesus. Amen. But there's a better fellowship when we get saved by the grace of God. The Psalm, in Psalm 84 and 10, the Bible said, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness." I tell you tonight, there was a time back under in my life when I thought I had fellowship with a bunch of fellas. I'm going to tell you what, listen, I didn't have fellowship. What I was in was sin ship. And sin ship was sinking, amen? But thank God Jesus brought me out of that mess and saved me by the grace of God and give me a fellowship. Listen, I'll give you three things here quickly. Fellowship with His Son. The Bible said, being made so much better than the angels. Look at that word, better. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Talking about God is faithful. Who you were called, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible said in 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'm thanking God tonight for a better fellowship. When God took us out of sin, put us in the body of Christ, we get the fellowship with the Son tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's fellowship with the Scripture. Paul said in Philippians 1:5, for your fellowship in the gospel. In the gospel. From the first day until now. Listen, you can't walk in fellowship with God and not walk in fellowship with His Word. If you're separated from His Word, if you're crossed up with God's Word, you're crossed up with God Himself. You're crossed up with the Holy Ghost. You're crossed up with God the Father. You're crossed up with God the Son. And you're crossed up tonight with the Bible. But listen tonight, when we have fellowship with His Son, fellowship through the Scripture, then we can have fellowship with the saints. The Bible said, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brother Kevin, I say this tonight. I say it humbly. But there's not a personality that can make you feel the way your family was made to feel. It takes the fellowship of the blessed Spirit of the living God among the saints of God to help a man to be able to come into a place where he knows no one. Listen, when I came here, I didn't know anybody, but it didn't take me a week or two to feel like I'd known some people all my life. Why? Because of the blessed Spirit of the living God that takes us out of that sinful mess, puts us in the body of Christ. Let's us have fellowship one with another. Oh, a lot of people think you have to agree all the time to have fellowship. That's just not so. Honey, what you need to agree on is Calvary. When you agree on Calvary, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost just has a way of ironing the wrinkles out. Say amen. You just get together at Calvary, beloved. The wrinkles will be ironed out. Amen. In the fellowship of the saints. John Wesley said this. Boy, I thought this was good. He said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior. He said, I want the whole Bible for my book. And he said, I want the whole church for my fellowship. And he said, I want the whole world for my mission field. Glory, glory, glory. That's good. Amen. No wonder God blessed that man the way that he did. I want the whole Christ for my Savior. I want, beloved, the whole Bible for my book. I want the whole church for my fellowship. And I want the whole world for my mission field. You say, preacher, the whole world can't be the mission field. The whole world is the mission field. And listen, we can't go into all the world. But what we can do is send into all the world. We can pray into all the world.
And I believe God wants us to do that. Amen. Some don't know it, but 35% of everything that comes through this church goes to missions. Then on Wednesday night, we started taking up an offering and expanding the missions program, taking on more missionaries. Got a missionary coming this month, scheduled a missionary for the first Wednesday night in January. I'm telling you, listen, God will bless a church that's mission-hearted and mission-minded. And I believe God will bless a people that's thinking more about others than they're thinking about themselves, thinking about not just the children in our children's church. Yes, we should think about them, but thinking about the children around the world that need to hear about a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So many are worshiping in darkness tonight. They don't know about this better things that accompany salvation. There's a better wealth. There's a better care. There's a better fellowship than this last thing tonight. It'll be a blessing to you, I believe. There's a better trust. You say, what do you mean, preacher? A better way. Listen to what Psalm 118 said. Verse 8 through verse number 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I'm just going to say something to you tonight. God, when I read that, oh, I'm telling you, he smote my heart. I'm concerned about our country. I'm telling you, I am concerned about our country. God, help us in this country that we live in. I'm going to tell you something right now. Sometimes I guess I get overly confident that maybe this one or that one could accomplish something. I'm going to tell you what God said to me. Son, you go on and vote. Amen. But you leave her up to me. You make sure your confidence is not in man. I'm going to tell you something right now. We say it and we believe it. Honey, this thing's a winding down quickly. It's a winding down quickly. But our confidence tonight is not to be, my friend, in any man. It's to be in the God of heaven. Amen. I could say a lot of things right there, but I'm about to vomit over what I'm seeing on the political scene in this day and age that we live in. It makes me sick, and I believe it makes the God of heaven sick. Let's see who can be the most immoral. God help us. God help us. A better trust. There's a better trust for those that are saved by the grace of God. I'm going to just ask you to do this when you vote. Just think about the Supreme Court. If you can't think about anything else, just think about the Supreme Court and the direction of that court. There's a better trust. You say, preacher, why is it better to trust in the Lord? It's better. That's what the Bible said. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Give a couple things right here quickly. It's a better sacrifice. That's why we can trust. The Bible said in Hebrews 12, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Aren't you glad? Listen. Yes, God was pleased. God said that he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. God was pleased with Abraham's sacrifice this morning. Aren't you glad? There was a day coming when a better sacrifice was coming. Put away sin. Once and for all. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Oh, beloved friend, it was pointing to the Lamb of God. John stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I was in prison one time preaching. I may have told you this, but I tell you, I like to illustrate things when the Lord will allow me, but I wrote things, and I went over to, I believe it was the book of Corinthians, where it talked about fornication, and it talked about adultery, it talked about idolatry, it listed sin after sin after sin, talked about being effeminate. And Paul said, such were some of you, but you're washed and you're justified, you're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I took a chalkboard and I wrote on that chalkboard all those, that list of sins that was recorded there in the Word of God, went to other places in the Word of God. I tried to dig up everything I could dig up, every sin I could find that God had named in the Bible. And I had that chalkboard top to bottom, four or five columns, plumb full of sin. And I said, well, how you doing right here, fellas? And boys, you could tell. How you doing right here, fellas? How you doing right here, fellas? I was kind of laying a trap for them. I said, how many of you done pretty good except for one or two? And all of them just throwed their hand up. Done pretty good except for one or two. I said, that's all it takes. Just one on the board and you're guilty of every one of them. That's what the Word of God said. Oh, I tell you, it got deep in there that day. Amen. God, I tell you, sin became exceeding sinful when men begin to realize they're not just guilty of this little thing or that little thing, but God throws the book at us when we're guilty. I took an eraser. I just kept preaching. I started preaching on the blood of Jesus. I said, watch this, fellas. And I took an eraser and I began to erase with my right hand. I took an eraser and I began to erase with my left hand. I tell you, I said, right there's what the blood of Jesus can do. It can erase every sin in our heart, every sin in our life. And I was standing there, Brother Steve, just preaching and getting happy in Jesus because he had took that mess out of my life. And I said, fellas, I want you to do something for me. I said, I just dare you. I said, come up here and take this out of these erasers and put it back on that board the way it come off. And I got happy and I didn't mean to do this part. I clapped those erasers together and there was an air current in that chapel. That big old cloud of chalk just went like that. Glory to God. I got so happy. You know what God did? You can't put it back on the board, but he carried it away. He carried it away. It'll never be remembered against us again. It's a better sacrifice. Amen. It's a better sacrifice. It's a better trust because it's a better sacrifice. It's a better trust because it's a better system. See, we're under the system of grace, not under the system of law. The Bible said, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 7:22, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. Hebrews 8:6, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. I say hallelujah tonight. There's a better system than the system of the law, the system of the sacrifice that put off the sin from year to year. There's the system of God's grace that puts away sin once and for all. I've had people say, well, if I believed that, I'd live like hell. I said, no, if you believed that, I'd pass you down here at the red light. You'd be on foot and I'd be in a car. Say amen. My friend, listen, you'd rejoice if you knew that God had taken... Listen, grace doesn't make a man want to sin some more. Grace makes a man want to stop and serve the Lord. That's exactly what grace will do. Hebrews 11:6. Now they desire a better country. Aren't you glad? Listen, we're under a better system. Now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I'll tell you one thing tonight. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, God would be ashamed to be called my God. Say amen. But all because when he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as pure as his only begotten Son is tonight because of that precious blood. The Bible said women received their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11:40, the Bible said, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. How many remembers this? Someone passes away, and somebody will say, many folks will say, Well, they're better off than we are. How many can remember hearing something like that? Well, listen, that's more than just words. You say, preacher, how could anybody be better off than we are? Because they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They're better off than we are. And that because of a better sacrifice, because of a better system, the system of grace. And someone else may stay, not be leaving, not be passing away. But I can tell you this tonight. You say, preacher, how you doing? Well, I'm better off than I deserve. So if I'm living or if I'm leaving, either way, I'm better off than I was before I met Jesus. Say amen. I'm better off than I was before I met Jesus. Let me give you this tonight and I'll be done. There's a better care. There's a better fellowship. There's a better wealth. But thank God there's a better trust. There's a better way tonight. Someone said this. The source is absolutely unknown. It said, trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him. He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. No wonder the songwriter said, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Beloved, our Lord tonight is worthy of our trust tonight. He's trustworthy tonight. And it's better to put confidence in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, than to put confidence in princes or to put confidence in man. I got to thinking today about our country. Got to thinking about our hope. What hope do we have tonight? I tell you what we have. We have a blessed hope that soon and very soon, Brother Kevin, I know you must be burdened about your children. Dear God, if this thing keeps going the same way it's been going for the last 3-4 decades, what's Olivia going to have to live in? What are these children going to have in to live in? What's Lillian and Malachi? What's all of these little youngins in Landon? What are they all going to have to face when they grow up? I tell you what, we may not have to worry about it. Because Jesus stepped out there and said, youngins, it's enough. It's enough. Just come on up hither. And I tell you, when He does, all of God's youngins are going to leave the ground. Amen. If they're in the ground, they're leaving. If they're on top of the ground, they're leaving. We're going to leave the ground. Amen. And we're going to go to be with Jesus. And what a day. What a glorious day that will be. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe tonight God had some better things for us, don't you, that would put our trust in Him. You know, we do have burdens, burdens to bear sometimes, burdens to share sometimes. But thank God there's a burden bearer whose name is Jesus. He can help us tonight with whatever it is that we're carrying tonight. I'm just glad you come to the house of God tonight. If you're not saved tonight, I'd run to Jesus. I'd run over somebody if I had to. I'd get to Jesus just as soon as I could, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And tonight, if you're carrying a heavy load, the Bible said that He would draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. I tell you, some of the greatest fellowship you'll have with the Lord is when you're in a valley, when you're in a dark place, where you're in a low place, when you don't know what to do. I tell you, He'll help you. He'll help you. There are people sitting in this building tonight from their own testimony, wouldn't be sitting in this building if God hadn't come alongside. The Holy Ghost of God, the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside to help. Sometimes, beloved, we don't even know what He's doing. But thank God we know it's Him. Amen. When we're a believer. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the little word better. Lord, I didn't get all of it tonight, but I believe I was led as we went through the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, how much better off we are than those that are still walking in darkness, those that are still blind to the blessings of God. Lord, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I think about Brother Allen, Lord. Yeah. I'd rather just sit on a stool and give out bulletins than I would to dwell in the tents with the wicked. God, the fellowship with your people is so precious. Help us, our God, to guard it with every fiber in our being. Help us, Lord, as Brother John taught this morning, to realize there's always an enemy that wants to creep in, but to realize greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Lord, tonight we're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory. It's already been won at Calvary. Help us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name.